chapter 103, and it's verses 8:3-12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So here we are today, Holy Trinity Church, where we've come together to worship God. This is not a live photo, so don't be surprised if you've lost your car. The Bible tells us that God is not a God amongst many, or that the Christian God is merely one way of looking at God. The Bible says that God is one God and the creator of all things. God created everything. The mountains and the oceans, the heavens and the earth, the stars in the sky, the planet, the moon and the sun. He created everything. And that includes us, humans. For he knows how we are formed, the scripture says. The Bible says that humans are created in God's own image. He loved us so much that he made us more than the animals, giving us reason and the ability to experience and express love in many different ways. The ability to make sacrifices for each other, even strangers who we've never met, and the ability to think and talk about things, and the ability to make choices. Now, being created in God's image, he wanted to be in relationship with each one of us. The psalm says, as the father has compassion on his children. That's a relationship God offers us, that of a father and a child. But a relationship cannot be forced or made to happen. It has to be chosen. It has to be accepted. Having the ability to choose is great. It makes us free to do what we want. But that's not always what God wants us to do. He gave us rules to live by. He made known his ways to Moses, the scripture says. But the problem is that we keep putting what we want before what God wants. And God sees that. Go on to the next one, please. I want you to imagine, if you might, everything you've ever done put on a screen for everyone to see. Every time we took something which wasn't ours on the screen. Every time we said something unkind to our brothers and sisters on the screen. Every time we took a toy that wasn't ours on the screen. Everything we'd ever done. I wonder how many of us would be able to stand up if asked. Stand up if you have never done anything wrong. How many of us could stand? Not many. Now imagine every thought we'd ever had on that same wall, exposed for everyone to see. Everything we'd ever thought of doing. Every time we'd seen the toy and thought, I want that toy, taken as if we had. Every time we see the sweet on the table and thinking, I want that sweet, taken as though we'd taken it. And on that wall, displayed for everyone to see. How many of us could still stand then? Not many at all. Probably no one. Undoubtedly no one. If we'd thought something unkind about our parents, goes on the wall. Said something unkind on the wall. And that's how God sees each one of us. Just like that. But God wants to forgive us. And he can't ignore what we've done wrong. He can't ignore it when we break the rules. Now, we could try apologising, but because of each one of the things we do, there's no way we could ever apologise enough. It's just not possible. But despite all of this, God still wants that relationship with us. The relationship that these children are stepping forward to today to affirm their faith. The Bible says, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to what we do wrong. But God cannot just forgive us. It says that for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God came to earth in human form as Jesus. Jesus was God. He lived a perfect life, did nothing wrong, never thought anything wrong, never took anything, never did anything wrong. His wall would have been empty, nothing to see. He was the one person who could have stood when that question was asked. And yet he died for us on the cross. But 3 days later he rose again. This is the life Jesus offers to us. That if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. Because through him, God has forgiven everything we have done. And everything we will do, as long as we believe and trust in him. The Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness with their children's children. He doesn't just love us this much, or this much. He loves us this much. To stretch out his arms on the cross for us. As far as the east is from the west, he forgave us. Two things cannot meet. His forgiveness is unlimited. In the Lord's Prayer, as many of us will know, it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." When Jesus was asked by his disciples, "How many times must I forgive?" They asked, 7 times? Wasn't enough. Jesus used a parable, a story, to explain. And he said, "There was once a king. Now the king was not a kind man. He was mean, he was nasty. He shouted all the time and everyone was scared of him. One day the king decided that it was time for all his servants to pay back the money that they owed him. He sent out his soldiers to their homes, and there was one who owed him so much money. He owed 10,000 bags of gold, but he didn't have the money, and he was scared. Humbly, the servant was brought before the king, and he begged for mercy. 'Where is my gold?' bellowed the king. 'I cannot pay my debt.' 'What?' said the king. 'Then I order that you and your family be sold as slaves to repay me,' snapped the king. The servant begged, 'Please, please, your majesty, have mercy on me, and I will pay back everything.' 'Very well, I will have pity on you and cancel your debt. You may go.' The servant was so relieved, and he left with excitement, because his debt had been cancelled. But what he didn't know was that he was being followed. As the servant left the king's presence, he met another servant who owed him money and suddenly became angry. 'You owe me 100 silver coins. Give it to me now. Please, please be patient and have mercy on me. I will pay back everything I owe, I promise.' 'I will not have mercy on you,' said the forgiven servant. Instead, he went off and found a prison guard. 'Throw this man into prison. He owes me money. Keep him there until he repays his debt.' The servants who had followed him from the palace said, 'This isn't right. Our friend was thrown into prison, but he owed more than the king, and the king showed him mercy. Go and tell the king what's happened here today.' Upon entering the throne room, the servant said, 'You gave that servant mercy and cancelled his debt, but now he has thrown someone else into prison for a much smaller debt.' The king summoned the servants in. 'Is this true?' he asked. 'Yes, it is true,' confessed the servant. 'You wicked servant. You begged me for mercy, and I cancelled your debt. Now, I hear that you put someone else in prison for the very same reason. Why didn't you have mercy on him like I did to you?' He instructed the prison guard to take the first servant away and to punish him until he could pay back everything he owed. All because he couldn't show mercy like the king had shown him. The Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us, God, our sins, as we forgive others." It's a two-way street, forgiveness. God forgives us, but we have to offer that same forgiveness. Far as the east to the west, we have to forgive each other as we go through our lives. Amen.